The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Drop, and I'm your host, Katie Drop. On today's bonus episode, I've compiled some of my previous lists from previous episodes. So today, we're going to do the top 10 NFL GOATs from the 1960s and the 1970s. Top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s. And so these are basically just guys who were either, of course, Super Bowl winners. Not all of them are Super Bowl winners, but the majority of them are Super Bowl winners. Their teams were great at one point. They were the face of the league at one point. They really just dominated for whatever reason at their position. This is numerous positions as well. I didn't just choose quarterbacks or just running backs. It's a mixture of every single type of football player you want. And so these guys, they either just dominated in their era, or they won a lot of Super Bowls, or they just were the dominating face of the league at that point. So we're going to start with the 1960s. And so these are the top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s, beginning with number 10, Gale Sayers, the running back of the Chicago Bears. He played from 1965 to 1971. So you're going to see some of these guys are going to overlap into the 70s, but I'm pretty much just going to be talking about what they did in the 60s. Gale Sayers is by far one of the greatest running backs of all time. As a matter of fact, if he did not suffer through so many injuries, if he had actually played in today's day and age, he would have lasted a lot longer, just because he suffered so many brutal knee injuries and they didn't have the same type of recovery and surgeries that they do now. Because, you know, back in the day, tearing an ACL, it used to be a career-ending type of injury. Now, you tear all three ligaments and you're back the next season. That's just because of the advancements in medicine and surgeries and physical therapy and all that kind of stuff. But Gale Sayers, unfortunately, suffered way too many injuries throughout his career. And that's why you hear about him, but you don't hear about him like you should. I feel like he would be on the same level as a Jim Brown if he didn't suffer so many injuries. But I mean, even so, this guy was electric when he hit the field. And he just was one of the top running backs in the game in the 60s. His career yards are 4,956 rushing yards, 39 touchdowns, 1,307 receiving yards, 9 receiving touchdowns. And then he also was a kick and punt returner. He ended up with 3,172 return yards and 8 return touchdowns. So the guy was an all-around. He didn't just do running back. He also did. He was also just fantastic in the kick return game. And his rookie season, it took off right from the jump. He has one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time still to this day. He holds records still. He has the TD rookie record of 22 touchdowns in a season. And then he also has the most touchdowns in one game. It's actually tied now. I can't recall who's tied him now, but for the most touchdowns in one game, he scored 6 touchdowns in one fucking game. This guy was electric. He was also the rookie of the year in 1965. He was a 5-time All-Pro from 1965 to 1969, so consecutively, 5-time All-Pro. He won Comeback Player of the Year in 1969 because he came back from a crazy knee injury where he tore his ACL, MCL, and LCL. And came back and had a solid year. He was the 2-time rushing leader in 1966 and 1969. He was the overall scoring leader in 1965 in his rookie season. He's the one of, I think, only players or only 2 players to ever score a rushing touchdown, receiving touchdown, and a kickoff touchdown in one game. So the guy was all around. He absolutely was one of the faces of the league at this time and absolutely dominated the 1960s. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s, Deacon Jones, the defensive end of the Los Angeles Rams. He played from 1961 to 1971. Now, unfortunately, with these defensive players that I'm going to discuss in this list, we don't really know the amount of sacks that they had, but Deacon Jones, still to this day, if you count his sacks, he is in the top 5, I believe the top 3 all time for sacks. He's got a total of 173 and a half sacks and 2 interceptions. This guy was a quarterback killer. As a matter of fact, he coined the term sack. He was a 2-time defensive player of the year in 1967 and 1968. He was a 5-time All-Pro from 1965 to 1969. He led the league in sacks 5 times in 1964, 1965, 1967, 1968, and 1969. The guy, nobody fucking dominated defense like Deacon Jones did, except for maybe a couple of other players. Deacon Jones, listen to this. He wasn't even supposed to play football. Some scouts for the Rams just happened to be at his college, and I believe they saw him running, and they just were like, dude, that guy's fast. He looks like he could be a good defensive end. They brought him in. They drafted him, and Deacon Jones would go down in history as one of the greatest defensive ends of all time, and he was a beast. You watch some fucking Deacon Jones highlights, and you will be like, holy shit. Imagine being a quarterback on the receiving end of that dude. No thank you. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL GOATs, Henry Jordan, the defensive tackle of the Green Bay Packers. He played from 1959 to 1969. That's right. This guy played before the Super Bowl era. You're also going to hear that in a few of these guys because, the Super Bowl era didn't really begin until 65, I believe. Yeah, 65, 64, in that era. So some of these guys actually are just champions and not Super Bowl champions because it's before the Super Bowl era, and Henry Jordan is one of those dudes. As a matter of fact, the team that dominated the 1960s, if you do not know, was the Green Bay Packers. And Henry Jordan was a huge reason why they were so dominant. Of course, there were many other reasons why, and there are a couple of his other teammates who make this list. But Henry Jordan was a motherfucking beast. This guy is a 5-time NFL champion and a 2-time Super Bowl champion. So he is technically a 7-time champion. He won championships in 61, 62, 65, 66, and 67, and then was also a winner in Super Bowl 1 and 2. He is a 7-time All-Pro, 1960 to 1964, 1966, and then 1967. The guy was one of the most dominating forces on the defensive side of the ball ever. And this Packers defense, you hear a lot about the offense, but this Packers defense was one of the first most dominating defenses you will ever have seen in the history of the league. If you have not watched old Green Bay Packers highlights, do yourself a favor and watch some old Green Bay Packers highlights. You will see some amazing football, but some amazing defense. And Henry Jordan was the leader of this squad. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s, Lance Allworth, the wide receiver of the San Diego Chargers. He played from 1962 to 1970, and then he also played a couple of seasons with the Dallas Cowboys after that. But if you want to talk about the most dominant wide receiver of this era, it is Lance Allworth. I mean, the guy's numbers are out of control. He ended up with 10,266 receiving yards and 85 touchdowns. He was an AFC champion in 1963. He was the AFL Player of the Year in 1963. He's a 6-time All-Pro from 63 to 68. He was the receiving leader in 1965, 1966, and 1968. He also was the TD receptions leader in 1964 through 1966. And I mean, really, he just dominated the league. Every single year Lance Allworth played, he dominated the league. And then he finally was able to win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys in the 70s. But in the 60s, this guy was one of the most reliable receivers of all time. He was electric. He could beat you going deep. He was just so damn good and was the receiver of the 1960s. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s, Bob Lilly, the defensive tackle of my Dallas Cowboys. He played from 1961 to 1974. I personally refer to him as the number one cowboy. Most people call him Mr. Cowboy. The reason why, he was the first pick by the Dallas Cowboys. He was the first Dallas Cowboy to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was the first Dallas Cowboy to be inducted into the Ring of Honor at the Cowboys Stadium. He is basically the Dallas Cowboys. This guy was one of the most hard-nosed, hard-working defenders ever. And he was the face. He was the first face of the Dallas Cowboys. That's why I call him the number one cowboy, because he was the first to do everything as a Dallas Cowboy. And if you are a Cowboys fan, you better fucking know who Bob Lilly is, because this is the number one cowboy. This is the cowboy. This is the Dallas Cowboys. Bob freaking Lilly. Won a Super Bowl in Super Bowl VI. Some of his career stats, we obviously don't have how many career sacks he has, but he does have 18 fumble returns, one interception, and four touchdowns. He was a seven-time All-Pro from 1964 to 1969, and then in 1971. And like I said, as far as defenders go, in the 60s, he was the most dominant. He was the number one cowboy. He was the face of this franchise. He was the first guy to do it all for the Cowboys. When you look at the Cowboys throughout history who have just been the face of that franchise, Bob Lilly is where it started. He was our number one dude. That is the number one cowboy. And he absolutely was a part of this doomsday defense that just dominated the NFL in the 1960s. And he was the reason why. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s, Dick Butkus, the linebacker of the Chicago Bears, played from 1965 to 1973. Some of his career numbers, because of course we don't have sacks for him. He had 22 interceptions and 27 fumble returns. He is a two-time Defensive Player of the Year in 1969 and 1970. Also five-time All-Pro, 1965, and then 1968 to 1970, and then 1972. He was one of the most feared defenders to ever play the game. I sing the praises of Dick Butkus, have been doing it on this show for many years now, just because he is football. If you look at the linebacker position, I mean, this guy, he was just football, and he was so much fun to watch. When I watch Dick Butkus highlights, I'm just in absolute awe watching what this guy does. I like I said about Deacon Jones, I can't imagine being a quarterback on the receiving end of that. It's times a million when you got Dick Butkus running at your motherfucking ass. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s, one of the most dominating quarterbacks, period, in the history of the league. I've really never talked about him much, which is weird, and that would be Johnny Unitas. He was the quarterback of the Baltimore Colts. He played from 1956 to 1972, so that was a long-ass career. He has been around the block. He was basically the first star quarterback. There were a couple of this era, but Johnny Unitas was exceptionally dominant in every single way, shape, and form. He is a three-time champion. He won in 1958, 1959, and 1968. Then he was also a Super Bowl champion. He won Super Bowl V. He was a league MVP in 1959, 1964, and 1967. He's a five-time All-Pro in 1958, 1959, 1964, 1965, and 1967. He led the league in passing yards in 57, 59, 60, and 63. He led the league in touchdowns from 1957 to 1960. So all those years, just straight, Johnny Unitas dominated the league with touchdowns. Then passing yards, his career totals are 40,239 passing yards, 290 passing touchdowns, 1,777 rushing yards, and 13 rushing touchdowns. Really, nobody dominated the league like Johnny Unitas. This guy, you hear the name Johnny Unitas, just the name alone screams football player. But if you have not watched Johnny Unitas highlights, this guy was Patrick Mahomes times a million. I mean, he was such a gunslinger, but he just had this killer instinct in him. And when you, it's just really hard to describe watching Johnny Unitas. He was such a warrior. And even at the end of his career, he just wanted to keep playing and wanted to keep playing. And even though, you know, he suffered some shoulder injuries towards the end of his career, which of course is a huge thing if you're a quarterback, and they were to his throwing shoulder as well. So he had some issues, especially in the Super Bowl era. Because like I said, he won Super Bowl V, but he actually was replaced in that game. And actually, over that kind of, well, I want to say like 3 to 5 year period in that Super Bowl era of the NFL, Johnny Unitas wasn't a consistent starter. He was either injured or they would replace him with, God, what's his name? I can't remember the quarterback's name, but Earl Morrill, I believe, is who Unitas basically was battling for his starting quarterback position with for the last couple of seasons of his career. But with Johnny Unitas, he just kept battling it and kept battling it and just wanted to keep playing. And when you talk about tough guys and just warriors of the NFL, Johnny Unitas was that. And if you have never watched Johnny Unitas highlights, do yourself a favor and watch yourself some Johnny Unitas highlights. I mean, any of these guys that I'm talking about are really any era of football. If you are just a person who loves football, just go back and watch some of this shit. It's insane to see how much the game has changed for the good and for the worse in both directions. But it doesn't matter what the rules are and what's happening in those eras. You will just see some amazing football players. And Johnny Unitas was 100% one of them. And he dominated the 50s and the 60s and is one of the most decorated quarterbacks ever to touch a football. Speaking of great quarterbacks, there was only one quarterback I put ahead of Johnny Unitas. I know most people will not put him ahead of Johnny Unitas, but I did because I have a great amount of respect for number 3 on my top 10 GOATs, NFL GOATs of the 1960s, and that is Bart Starr. The quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, he played from 1956 to 1971. I feel like a lot of people don't put him above Unitas because basically this entire Packers team is in the Hall of Fame. That should not be held against Bart Starr because guess what? Bart Starr is also in the Hall of Fame. He is one of the most accurate quarterbacks of all time. And that is why I put him above Unitas. Unitas, ironically, was more of a gunslinger like Brett Favre, the old Green Bay Packers quarterback. Bart Starr was so accurate. He just delivered the ball with precision and just went out there and did his job. He was also a leader of men. And for me, I just put Starr above Unitas just because he wasn't, you know, Unitas was a gunslinger. So he would have that mentality where he would just fucking throw the ball like Josh Allen does. You know, sometimes you're like, Josh Allen will throw this crazy play and you're like, oh my God, that was insane. And then he'll throw the stupid interception. You're like, that was fucking dumb. That was Unitas. And so to me, Bart Starr is above him slightly just because, I mean, when you look at championships, they have about the same amount of championships. But Bart Starr, and the end to their careers, kind of similar. Because Bart Starr didn't have an amazing end to his career either. But really, when you look at the end of the majority of careers, they don't usually end well. But Bart Starr, to me, was the face of the league at this time. He was a bit more accurate and a bit more reliable in the clutch and crucial moments, more so than Unitas to me. So that is why I put Bart Starr just one spot above Unitas. I feel like I get the arguments of Unitas over Bart Starr, but for me personally, I have so much respect for Bart Starr. And when I watch Bart Starr's game, it's like, whoa. He's just such a fun quarterback to watch, and there's just been so many plays I've seen of him where I'm like, just, whoa, this guy's phenomenal. He ended up with a career passing yards of 24,718 yards and 152 touchdowns, so his career stats are a lot less than Unitas. I mean, Unitas had over 40,000, where Bart Starr only had 24,000 passing yards, but still, it's not just stats to me, and there's just other intangibles that I feel Bart Starr had that Unitas slightly didn't have, but like I said, you can argue either way with both of them. But with Bart Starr, he is a 5-time champion, and a two-time Super Bowl winner. So he's also technically a seven-time champion. He won in 1961, 62, 65, 66, 67. So that's 3 years in a row Bart Starr won. Then won the Super Bowl, Super Bowl I and II. Then he was also the Super Bowl MVP at I and II. And he was the NFC MVP in 1966. He was an All-Pro in 1966. So those are kind of a couple other things you could technically hold against Bart Starr over Unitas, but I don't. These are the two things that I look at, the two stats that I look at where I'm like, this is why Bart Starr's better. He's a five-time league leader in passer rating, which is a big deal. And then a four-time completion percentage leader in the league as well. And yes, those aren't sexy stats, but those are the two most reliable stats, basically, for a quarterback. And then, of course, his championships. And he was the face of the league. Unitas was also, but to me, I just put Bart Starr one step ahead of Unitas. But I mean, really, they were both two excellent quarterbacks at the time. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s, we wouldn't have Bart Starr without offensive tackle Forrest Gregg. I know. I'm putting an offensive lineman at number two. But if you actually look at other lists, a lot of people put this guy at number one. And it's just because he was one of the most reliable offensive linemen ever. He played from 1956 to 1970. He played it in 193 games. He was known as like the Iron Man because he played in 188 straight games. He had 8 fumble returns. He was a 5-time champion in 61, 62, 65, 66, and 67. Won Super Bowl I, II, and then he also was with the Cowboys for a little bit of a time, so he also won Super Bowl VI with the Cowboys. He was a 7-time All-Pro in 1960, and then from 1962 to 1967. So 6 years straight, the dude was an All-Pro. But, I mean, when you talk about reliability and just the team, the offensive side of the ball revolved around Forrest Gregg. He blocked for Bart Starr for him to get his passes and the time to get these passes off. He blocked for one of the greatest running games of all time was this Green Bay Packers offense, and it had to do with the offensive line. He was just the epitome of consistency, as you could tell, with 188 straight games played. So there would not be this championship dynasty for the Green Bay Packers if you did not have Forrest Gregg. There would not be a Bart Starr. There would not be any of these amazing players if there wasn't Forrest Gregg. And so he is number two on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s. And at number one on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s, Jim Brown, the running back of the Cleveland Browns. Honestly, nobody dominated this era more than Jim Brown. He ended up with a career rushing yards of 12,312 yards, which was a record at the time of his retirement. He had 106 rushing touchdowns, 2,499 receiving yards, and 20 receiving touchdowns. He won a championship in 1964. He is a 3-time MVP in 1957, 1958, 1965. He won Rookie of the Year in 1957. He led the league in rushing 8 times, from 1957 to 1961, and then 1963 to 1965. So that's only a couple seasons of his entire career. He did not lead the league in rushing. He led the league in touchdowns 5 times from 1957 to 1959, and then also in 63 and 65. He led the league in scoring in 1958, and he is the only running back ever in the league still to this day to average 100 yards per game for his entire career. And like I said, nobody dominated the league like Jim Brown. And as a matter of fact, when you look at just GOAT lists overall, he's hands down one of the greatest ever. And if you want to see some amazing highlights, watch yourself some Jim Brown highlights. That guy just dominated. And it's just crazy to watch somebody averaging 100 yards per game for his entire career. That just says so much about a player. And I mean, he really could have kept going too. He only retired because he had just kind of a rift with the owner of the Cleveland Browns. He kind of wanted to do other things, so he branched off into acting and then just kind of retired after that. But Jim Brown easily could have played probably another five seasons and really just grew his legend even more. But he didn't, and it doesn't matter anyways, because he's still, to this day, one of the greatest ever. I mean, just say it. He averaged 100 yards per game in every single game he played in his entire career. Nobody's been able to mimic that. Still, he played in the fucking goddamn 60s, for Christ's sake, the 50s and 60s. That just goes to show you what his domination was during his era. So Jim Brown had to be number one on my list of NFL GOATs of the 1960s. So my list ended up being the top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s. Number 10, Gale Sayers. Number 9, Deacon Jones. Number 8, Henry Jordan. Number 7, Lance Allworth. Number 6, Bob Lilly. Number 5, Dick Butkus. Number 4, Johnny Unitas. Number 3, Bart Starr. Number 2, Forrest Gregg. And number 1, Jim Brown. Like I said, check out these guys. I mean, really, these guys were just... You look at today's game, and you could still see these guys in today's game. And that just, it just says so much about the sport of football. And I just have a great amount of respect for each and every one of these 10 guys. And this is just 10 guys. I had to whittle it down. There were a couple other guys on the outside where I'm like, I kind of want to put you in, but I can't knock off this one, and I can't knock off that one. And then there were even dudes I didn't even know. Like, I never had heard of Henry Jordan until I started putting together this list. And then when I looked him up, I was like, wow, this guy was so dominating, and I had no idea who he was. And then, like I said, I've never really discussed Johnny Unitas on the list or on this show for some odd reason. It's just, he just has never come up. And then when I started doing research on his stats and kind of when he played, I mean, I, of course, knew who Johnny Unitas was. I knew he was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. It's just once I started doing research on him and watching more of his highlights and just kind of taking a look at his career overall, I was like, whoa, this guy was Peyton Manning many, many, many decades before Peyton Manning was even born. So that just goes to show you what kind of players these guys were. And like I said, you have somebody on here like Gale Sayers, who could have done way more had he not suffered through all the injuries. I mean, I can't even imagine what he would have done if he didn't suffer all the injuries he suffered. And then you got guys like Lance Allworth, who just completely dominated the league at their one position. I mean, really, when I look at the wide receiver position of the 1960s, it's him and then everybody else. There were, of course, great wide receivers of this era, but nowhere anybody in his stratosphere just... statistics-wise speaking. And then, of course, like I said, you've got guys like Dick Butkus and then Jim Brown, who have just been amazing football players, legends who you just hear about. And rather than just hearing about these guys, check them out. You'll remember last week I did the top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1960s. So this week we are moving on to the top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1970s. And this was a really difficult list for me to rank because there are so many good-ass players from the 70s, but I'm also, right now, I'm on Super Bowl, I watched 24 last night, so I'm going on to 25, and so I'm in the 80s right now, and that's going to be next week's list, and I'm already like, who the fuck am I putting where? Now, I already know my number one and number two for sure. You probably would be able to guess, but I'll wait till next week. I already know who they're going to be, but after that, I'm like, whoa, there's going to be so many guys to choose from. It's going to be a difficult list for me to whittle together, but this list from the 70s, also pretty difficult to do because this is a quarterback-heavy list for sure, but there are so many damn good players from the 70s. It was hard to leave out some of the ones I had to leave out, but here are the top 10 NFL GOATs from the 1970s, beginning with number 10. I can't believe I had to put him in number 10, but I did. And that is Bob Greasy, the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. He played from 1967 to 1980. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He won Super Bowl 7 and 8. He actually went to 6, so he went to 3 straight Super Bowls. He also played for the only undefeated team ever, the 1972 Dolphins. He's a two-time first all-team, 1971, 1977. He led the league in touchdowns in 1977. His career numbers, he had 25,092 passing yards and 192 passing touchdowns. And this guy was just an Iron Man. He played through so many injuries. Actually, in the undefeated season for the Dolphins, it's crazy when you actually look back on that 1972 season, because Bob Greasy ended up getting injured early on in the season, so he didn't even play the majority of the regular season. He got injured. I can't recall who was his backup. Was it Earl Morrill? I think it was Earl Morrill, as a matter of fact, because Morrill was the backup to Johnny Unitas for a while, also took over in a backup role when Unitas started getting injured. Shula was his coach. So yeah, I'm almost positive it was Morrill who took over for him. In the regular season, but then once they got to hit the postseason, that's when Greasy was good and ready to go. During that undefeated year, Greasy was out a lot of the regular season, which is just crazy to think about. But he battled through a lot of injuries throughout his career, but he was an Iron Man, and he was one of the top quarterbacks of this era, which is just crazy because, like I said, this is a quarterback-centric list. Now, I think it's only 3 that are on the list, but even... Yeah, 3. 3 are on this list. But even these 3, I was like, shit, I got to leave you out. Oh, my God, I got to leave you out. So there's a lot of good-ass players in the 70s. And Bob Greasy was one of the top quarterbacks of this era. And he's at number 10. So that's pretty crazy. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1970s, Terry Bradshaw, quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He played from 1970 to 1983. He's a 4-time Super Bowl champion. He won Super Bowl 9, Super Bowl 10, Super Bowl 13, and Super Bowl 14 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were they were back-to-back champs, obviously, 2 times. He is a 2-time Super Bowl MVP. He also won the MVP in 1978. He was a first-team All-Pro in 1978. He led the league in touchdowns twice in 1978 and in 1982. His career statistics in passing yards, 27,989 passing yards, 212 passing touchdowns with 2,257 rushing yards and 32 rushing touchdowns. And speaking of Iron Man, Terry Bradshaw also was an Iron Man. This guy took some crazy fucking hits throughout his career. A lot of people like to talk down on Terry Bradshaw, like to kind of act like he didn't play a huge role in this team. And in my opinion, there's only one player from this Pittsburgh Steelers team that I actually put on this list, because I felt like you had to definitely include some Steelers on this list, because this was the team of the 70s, the Steelers. They were the team of the 70s. They dominated the 70s. Nobody dominated the 70s like the Pittsburgh Steelers did. So it was 100% factual. I had to put a couple Steelers on this list. I could have made a top 10 list of just Steelers if I wanted to, but you know, they weren't the only people in this era. So I put Terry Bradshaw on here because he was the workhorse of this offense. He basically was the beginning of this 70s team in this 70s era. And so, like I said, a lot of people like to talk down on him, kind of like they did with Bart Starr in the 60s. Oh my God, he had all these great players. Yeah, well, guess what, people? I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you've ever looked over rosters from Super Bowl champion teams, but they're pretty goddamn good. Usually, that's the case. You know why? Because teams win championships, not fucking individuals. Teams win championships. And just because Terry Bradshaw was surrounded by Hall of Famers doesn't mean he wasn't one. And he was an integral part of this team. It was difficult for me to put him down at 9. I had to put him down at 9 on this list just because there are... Just this 70s era was full of talent. And it wasn't just quarterbacks who dominated. And like I said, there's one player on this Steelers team who's actually ranked above Terry Bradshaw in this one, and he's one of the greatest defenders of all time. So yeah, Get ready for that one. But Terry Bradshaw, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, too. That dude deserves all the praise for his career. And Terry, don't ever let anybody talk you down, because I've heard interviews with Terry Bradshaw that he suffered from depression because people have basically said he was like the loser of the team. And it's like, fuck no. Not anybody could have just played in that role. You did it. You won 4 Super Bowls. So they can go fuck themselves. You also won an MVP, for Christ's sake. You don't win the league MVP by being just a little fucking role player on a team. No, you were the quarterback of the 1970s dynasty. So Terry Bradshaw, that dude's a bad motherfucker in my book. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1970s, speaking of bad motherfuckers, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I said there was 3 quarterbacks on this. No, there's 3 quarterbacks to start the list, and then there's 4 quarterbacks total on this list. Here is 3rd quarterback in the row, and in my opinion, this guy is such a phenomenal quarterback. One of the just watching him, his game, and he played for a long ass time too. I could have put him in the 60s as well. That's how long this guy's career was. But when I watch his highlights, I'm just like, damn, this guy was a bad motherfucker. And you could tell he was the key for this team. And that guy's name is Fran Tarkenton. Now, he was first drafted by the Minnesota Vikings as a quarterback from 1961 to 66. He would then get traded to the New York Giants. He'd have a brief stint there, and then he would come back to the Minnesota Vikings from 1972 to 1978. And he played some of the most consistent football ever. And even in he lost a bunch of Super Bowls, unfortunately. But even in those Super Bowl losses, it wasn't on him. Trust me, you watch those Super Bowls back, which I did, and I'm like, he was the only thing that kind of kept them in it in those games. It's unfortunate for him that he lost so many, but I mean, that's just the way it goes. But he was insane to watch. When you watch Fran Tarkenton highlights, you just, at least me, I am in awe. His career numbers, he has passing yards, 47,003 passing yards, and 342 passing touchdowns with 3,674 rushing yards and 32 rushing touchdowns. Now, I know the rushing quarterback kind of feels like it just came about when Michael Vick hit the league, or even when Steve Young just hit the league. No, y'all, you need to go back and watch the 60s and 70s shit, and you will find out that Fran Tarkenton has been running around like a motherfucker since the fucking 60s. That dude invented running the football as a quarterback. And not only did he do that, but just watching how precise he was with his passes, he was just, he's just crazy to watch. Just no lie. Through the air, on the ground, he just made play after play after play. He was the MVP in 1975, Offensive Player of the Year in 1975. He was the first team All-Pro in 1975. As you could tell, the 1975 season was his year. He led the league in passing yards in 1978, and then he also led the league in passing touchdowns in, you guessed it, 1975. So Fran Tarkenton, I could have put him on the list in the 60s, but I saved him for the 70s, especially because I feel like that's what he's most known for, is his time in the 70s with the Minnesota Vikings. But this guy was a bad, bad motherfucker. And talking about running quarterbacks, he started that gangsta shit, and this is the motherfucking thanks he gets. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1970s, Ron Yari. He played offensive tackle for the Minnesota Vikings and blocked for the said Fran Tarkenton. He played from 1968 to 1981. His entire career with the Vikings. He was a champion in 1969. He was a 6-time first team All-Pro from 1971 through 1976. So 6 times straight. This guy was basically one of the greatest offensive linemen ever to play the game. He only missed 2 games in his entire career. He ended up playing 207 games, starting 180 of them, and had 2 fumble returns. or two fumble recoveries, and he was just the epitome of consistency. And like I said, he blocked for Fran Tarkington, and they actually had some pretty good running backs as well throughout his tenure. So Ron Yari, just he was that dude back in the 70s. Speaking of those dudes, at number 6 on my top 10 NFL GOATs, that would be Jack Youngblood, the defensive end of the Los Angeles Rams from 1971 to 1984. His career, his sacks, not all of them are counted because he played half in that era where they didn't count sacks and then half when they did. He ended up with 151 and a half total career sacks. He had 10 fumble recoveries and 2 safeties. He's a 5-time first-team All-Pro from 1974 to 1976, also in 1978 and 1979. He led the league twice in sacks in 1974 and 1979. He is also notoriously known for playing on a broken leg in the playoffs and in the Pro Bowl in 1979. So as you could tell, 1979 was his year of domination. He actually took over for one of the other greatest defensive ends of all time, who was also mentioned in my 1960s GOATs, Deacon fucking Jones. He took over for Deacon Jones. How do you go from Deacon Jones to Jack Youngblood? Well, you do when you're the Los Angeles Rams. And Jack Youngblood, one of the most insane, crazy motherfuckers, and just dominated on defense in the 70s. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1970s, another crazy motherfucker, and his name is Alan Page. He played defensive tackle for the Minnesota Vikings from 1967 to 1978, and then played for the Chicago Bears from 1978 to 1981. In his career, he also played in that era where they didn't count all his sacks, these don't actually count, but this is how many he had: 148 and a half career sacks, 3 safeties, 2 interceptions, 23 fumble recoveries, and 3 touchdowns. He still to this day holds an NFL record of 2 safeties in one season. He won a championship in 1969. He was the first defensive NFL MVP in 1971. He was a 2-time defensive player of the year in 1971 and 1973, 5-time first team all team, 1970, 1971, and then 1973 through 75. And when you talk about dominating defenses, this Minnesota Vikings defense was literally one of the most dominant defenses of all time, and he was the driving force of them all. Of also weird career note, usually when a guy retires from the NFL, his career could go many different ways. You could be successful like a Roger Staubach, for example, and you know, you retire and get into real estate, and that's where you make all your riches. Or you could be Antonio Brown and just be a fucking whack-ass motherfucker who has no future in sight as anything other than a jackass. Alan Page, on the other hand, he went the Roger Staubach route, and he actually ended up getting his law degree and would become a lawyer and eventually end up on the Minnesota Supreme Court as a judge. How fucking insane is that? He's a retired freaking judge now. So not only was he one of the greatest defenders of all time, dude takes his career to a completely different realm and ends up on the Minnesota Supreme Court. How crazy is that? Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1970s, O.J. Simpson, running back of the Buffalo Bills, played for the Bills from 1969 to 1977, also ended his career with the San Francisco 49ers, but nobody really remembers him for that. Of course, most people these days remember him for something much worse, you know, stealing his memorabilia, right? That's what we all know him for these days, right? Not slitting throats or anything like that. Anyways, O.J. Simpson was a fantastic football player. Regardless of what you think about him, regardless of what kind of a human being he is, I know this is going to be upsetting to certain people, but this list is not about who you are as a person. I don't believe in that kind of shit, especially in the sports world. I don't really believe in it in the entertainment world. If I am entertained by you, I don't actually care who you are as a human being. And I could completely separate who you are as a human being from whatever form of entertainment you are offering to me. And actually, all of us are like that in one way, shape, or form. It's just everybody has their certain line. And, you know, O.J. Simpson's a very polarizing person, especially if you grew up in the 90s when the O.J. trial was going on. He was very polarizing. And so he's a polarizing topic. And the NFL kind of likes to act like he doesn't exist. But guess what? I know he existed because he was one of the greatest running backs of all time, and he dominated the 1970s era, so I'm sorry, he is on my list at number four. And honestly, he could have been higher if I really wanted to put him there. It's just he didn't get opportunities to play in the postseason. As a matter of fact, he's only played in one playoff game, so we didn't really get to see what he could do in the postseason. But I'm also not going to hold that against him because it's not like it was his fault that his teams sucked. As a matter of fact, he was the only bright shining star on these Buffalo Bills teams during his run, if you will. But when you watch O.J. Simpson run, it's beauty. This is what a running back should look like, in my opinion. And he ended up with his career stats of 11,236 rushing yards, 61 rushing touchdowns. Through the air, he had 2,142 receiving yards and 14 receiving touchdowns. He was the MVP in 1973. He was the Offensive Player of the Year in 1973. He's a five-time first-team All-Pro from 1972 to 1976, so 5 years in a row. He was the rushing champion four times in 1972, 1973, 1975, and 1976. He led the league in touchdowns twice in 1973 and 1975. He was the scoring leader in 1975. In 1973, he became the first running back ever to rush for over 2,000 yards. He would end up with 2,003 yards, and he only did it in 14 games because he played in an era where you only played 14 games. So the running backs that have eclipsed the 2,000-yard rushing mark for whatever season they do it in, they all did it in more than 14 games. So OJ is the only running back to ever do that in 14 games. Also in 1976, he set the all-time leading rushing mark in a game for rushing for 273 yards and two touchdowns. And then in that 1973 season in which he won the MVP, he averaged, this is what he averaged per game, 143.1 yards per game. So I'm sorry, y'all can hate on who he is as a person, which, by the way, he probably is a scumbag as a human being from what he has presented himself to be. But as I said, I can separate the two of them. And watching him on the field, I've watched myself plenty of O.J. Simpson highlights, and every time I watch O.J. Simpson on the field, I am in awe. He is exactly what a running back should have been. I can't imagine what it would have been like if O.J. Simpson would have played for either like the Dolphins, the Steelers, or the Cowboys in this 70s era, because those were basically the teams that dominated. Shit, if he played for one of those teams, we'd probably be talking about O.J. Simpson as one of the greatest running backs of all time, and you wouldn't even be able to try and delete it from the world as much as you like to. But even though he didn't win championships, he dominated this era. He was the running back of this era and absolutely one of the greatest to do it ever. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1970s, Walter Payton, running back of the Chicago Bears. Yeah, I can't believe I had to put him at number three, by the way. It was hard. Actually, my top three in this was really difficult for me to kind of shuffle who was going to go where. Because, you know, Walter Payton is arguably the greatest running back of all time. You know, that's why I put him above OJ, because OJ was fantastic too. But Walter Payton, he won a Super Bowl. And this Chicago Bears team was in contention every single year for the Super Bowl that Walter Payton was on this team. And he was the reason why they were so good. He was the bright, shining star of this team. And he was the face of the league as well. He played from 1975 to 1987. He won Super Bowl 20, which was in the 80s, but still he dominated the 70s. He ended up with a career rushing of 16,726 yards, which was the leading rusher, which was a record at the time of his retirement, which was eclipsed by Emmitt Smith ultimately. He would have 116 career touchdowns, 4,538 receiving yards, and 15 receiving touchdowns. He was the MVP of the 1977 year, Offensive Player of the Year in 1977. He was a five-time first-team All-Pro 1976, 1977, 1980, 84, and 85. So as you could tell, he dominated in both the 70s and 80s. So don't be surprised if he actually potentially makes the 1980s list as well, because he dominated basically until the day he retired. He probably could have played a couple more seasons if he wanted to, but he just didn't. And also, you know, the reason why I had to put him on this list specifically is his 1977 season is obviously a legendary year. And not only did he win the MVP and Offensive Player of the Year, he was the first team. He also led the league in rushing in 1977. He led the league in touchdowns in 1977. Also, he would end up breaking that O.J. Simpson record for the most rushing yards in a game in 1977. He broke that record with 275 yards in one game. So the 77 year was just a big year for Walter Payton. So that's why he definitely had to be on the 70s list for sure. Like I said, don't be surprised if he makes the 80s list. He may or may not. But in the 70s, he absolutely dominated. And like I said, it was really tough to put him at number three because he was the all-time leading rusher. Like I said, when you're breaking down running backs, just overall, Sweetness was the dude. And he really was the face of the league at this time. They did have a few faces of the league, but like when you speak on Walter Payton, I mean, there's a freaking award named after him, for Christ's sake. So that's kind of Walter Payton's impact on the league as a whole. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1970s, Mean Joe Green, defensive tackle of the Pittsburgh Steelers, played his entire career with the Steelers from 1964 to 1981. He is a four-time Super Bowl champion, won 9, 10, 13, and 14, and was the face of the Steelers team. Like I said, I knew I had to put a couple players from the Steelers team on here. I already talked about Terry Bradshaw, but Mean Joe Green was the Pittsburgh Steelers. From the day they drafted him, by the way, he was the Pittsburgh Steelers. As a matter of fact, he won Rookie of the Year in 1969 when he was drafted. I'm sorry, did I say he played from 64 to 81? I should have said he played from 69 to 81. My pen kind of missed the top of the ink, and it made it look like a four. He played from 69 to 81. And was the defensive for the Rookie of the Year in 69. He also was a two-time Defensive Player of the Year in 1972 and 74. He was a five-time first-team All-Pro from 1972 through 74, and then also in 77 and 79. His career also, career sacks not really counted because he played in that era, but he had ended up with 77 and a half sacks, 16 fumble recoveries, and one interception. And I know some of his stats don't sound as amazing like Jack Youngblood, or hell, even Alan Page, but when you talk about this 70s Steelers team, we all know Mean Joe Green was the face of this team. He was the face of the league at the time. He basically was the first football player to be in that Coca-Cola ad where he throws the kid his jersey, which we still talk about in 2024, for Christ's sake. So it was actually really difficult for me to not put him at number one because this team, this Steelers team, they did dominate the 70s. But my number one, I obviously has a tiny bit of bias to it, but at the same time, his domination is just as great too. But Mean Joe Green was the face of that Steelers team. He was called mean, for Christ's sake, so he was insane on defense. But also, there were so many other great defenders on this team. That's why he only had 77 and a half sacks, because he would have had more if he was the only guy on this defense. But there was more sacks to go around between other players, so he didn't need to dominate the way he did. But I think we all know who was the face of that franchise at the time and who was really the face of the league at that time, and it had to have been Mean Joe Green. Now my number one on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1970s. I just said it. There's a tiny, tiny bit of bias in this one. But really, at the end of the day, you take a look at the overall career. You take a look at his dominance. You take a look at the way he played. You take a look at how he was in the league. And it's really, he at least has to be in your top three. I don't care what anybody says. Of the 70s era, this guy has to be in your top three. He happens to be my number one. And that is Roger Staubach, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. So yes, that is where my tiny bit of bias goes in there. But I'm sorry, this motherfucker dominated the 1970s. He played from 1969 to 1979, spent his entire career with the Cowboys. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny to see the career of Roger Staubach. You know, he was in the military. So he had to serve his 4 years in the military before he would even could play in the NFL. And he hits the NFL, and Tom Landry kind of has doubts about him. He didn't really like his style of play. He felt that he ran too much and didn't want to sit in the pocket and be a pocket passer. So there was this time period, basically throughout the majority of Staubach's career, it was the rotating quarterbacks. He was not usually the starting quarterback. Basically, Landry he relented basically every time he started Staubach. He couldn't not start him because Staubach was just that fucking good. So Staubach, two-time Super Bowl champion. He won Super Bowl VI and Super Bowl XII. He was a Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl VI. He went to 4 overall, but unfortunately lost 2 of those to the Steelers. He led the league in touchdowns in 1973. His career stats, 22,700 passing yards, 153 touchdowns, 2,264 rushing yards, and 20 rushing touchdowns. He was just so reliable. He was, when you actually do watch highlights of the 70s, when you actually just pay attention to what was going on in football at the 70s, he was the face of the league. Him and Mean Joe Green were pretty much the dudes. And then, of course, Walter Payton as well. But Roger Staubach, he was the quarterback. Everybody loved watching him. Everybody wanted to be him. He just played Roger the Dodger, man. He just was crazy. Like, talking about Tarkenton and the way he ran, Roger Staubach was the exact same way. You just couldn't stop the dude. If you had his receivers locked down in coverage, well, you better have a spy watching him because the guy could take off at any minute. And he was also an iron man. He would take the hits. He would play even injured. He basically just had to be taken out of the game and medically told you cannot play, basically, if he was ever taken out of a game. And when he played for the Cowboys, they were successful the entire time. And just, he really dominated the 70s, so he had to be at number one for me. Like I said, I feel like the top three, Walter Payton and Joe Green and Roger Staubach, you really can shuffle any one of them and make them number one. But for me, like I said, there's a tiny bit of Dallas Cowboys bias in there because I'm a Cowboys fan. But you take a look at the 70s and the league in the 70s, Staubach dominated. Staubach was that dude. And it's not his fault he played in an era with some really damn good teams like the Steelers, like the Vikings, with really damn good defenses. He also had damn good defense as well. But Roger Staubach, he was the leader of one of the best franchises of the 1970s. So my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1970s was 10, Bob Greasy, 9, Terry Bradshaw, 8, Fran Tarkenton, 7, Ron Yari, 6, Jack Youngblood, 5, Alan Page, 4, O.J. Simpson, 3, Walter Payton, 2, Mean Joe Green, and number 1, Roger Staubach.